talk to me.
Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Freed.
All right, welcome back to God Invention Radio. We have Ron Brown from Patent Search International on our show. We're up to segment three. And I wanted to start off by thanking Inventor's Digest for all their help and support with really expanding our listenership on our show. And our partnership just recently started a couple weeks ago, and there's so many fun things and great things that myself and Mike Drummond are working on together to really expand the show. And I really appreciate all their help, and Louis Foreman, we thank you, and we just keep moving the show to a bigger audience and getting great people like Ron Brown, who's on our show tonight, just really keeping this fresh and interesting for our listeners out there. So Ron, I wanted to start off by saying that, you know, when I do a search, and, you know, I use your services. I'm not shy to say that. I've definitely used your, I think I've used your service about 14 times.
Oh, it's been a button, shell.
Well, I need to know. What can I say? I use the experts. So here's the thing. I know that when I send something into you, and we're going to go into the process because we were just about you telling us what you do when you go into this search in depth to let us know if we're clear or not. All I know is every time when I send something in, I know, like, you know, 5-6 days later, I'm looking in the mailbox and I see a yellow envelope. And I know if it's like a thick one, I'm dead. It's like, look at all this prior art I found, Brian. I'm sorry. Game over. And then there's other ones that are like really thin. I'm like, yes, I'm looking at the opinion letter. And, you know, you can move forward. So I just want to share that experience, how it feels to open up the mailbox and get your mail run.
Well, it's funny that inventors love their ideas. And I almost feel bad because the inventor will call me up and they'll talk to me and they'll tell me how wonderful their idea is. And then I go in and do the search and just knock it right out of the ballpark as far as patentability goes. And at first I feel bad because I've broken their heart because their baby is not valuable. But then on the other hand, I look at it and say, I just saved this inventor thousands of dollars by not filing a worthless patent application. So I tell people I'm a heartbreaker, not a deal maker.
I'm starting to get some questions that are coming in.
Okay.
There's one gentleman that is saying that he got on a bit late. He's not sure if we covered this with you, but he said that this is John. He said about a photograph, you know, like he made, I'm just reading this, he made like a homemade prototype.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know that, is it okay for him to send a homemade prototype, a drawing actually from an engineer, or just a chicken scratch drawing? So we kind of answered that before, but
yeah, all three are fine.
Okay, doesn't matter.
And photographs, videotapes, you know, anything like that. The reason I expressed the point about it not necessarily being, yeah, it does not have to be a professional drawing, is just the fact to save the inventor some money. But, you know, any way they can get it to me, CDs, videos, photographs, anything along that line, just as long as I can get a representation of what it looks like.
Great. Okay, I'm going to give the phone number also for those of you that I also have another question that just came in on email. But you can also call in. Don't be shy. Right, Ron?
Right.
Call in.
We love talking to people. 877-474-3302.
You call in and ask Ron a question right on the spot. Listen, you've been holding back. This may be the step that you were missing, or it's the step that you're at right now, and you have an opportunity to ask Ron questions. He's very experienced, 41 years in the business of around the inventing world. So I'm sure he definitely can help us with any questions that you have.
One of the things that I like to tell people is I try to turn thinkers into doers, because so many times I've talked to people, you know, on the golf course or anywhere, and when they find out I'm in the invention business, so to speak, they say, you know, oh, I thought of something. I invented the so-and-so, and I never did anything with it. Now it's on the market making $1 million. Or I thought of that 30 years ago, and now it's all over the place. Well, the difference between those two people are they both thought of it, but one of them took action and did something, and the other one just sat around and thought about it.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, there's people that let things happen, and there's people that make things happen.
You snooze, you lose.
Without question. So, okay, we were up to the point where we filled out our form, and we gave it in to you. We gave you a description, picture, all that good stuff, and you're at work. You know, we gave you the $250. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, like I say, I go in, and I start with a keyword, looking, you know, for patents that have that particular, you know, fishing pole or whatever it may be, and look through those. You know, you bring them up on screen, and you have to look at, you know, click them on and look at, you know, each page and read everything in the you know, the abstracts and the all the other jazz and the claims and all this. And, you know, if you're not finding what you're doing there, you use other keywords, and you keep on going through as many keywords as it may take. And, you know, it's helpful to know some of the things that, you know, the patent office use. I mean, if you're looking for a bicycle, you might type in bicycle, but the patent office might call it a velocipede. So that's kind of helpful to know, you know, to know that sort of thing. Right. And again, and a lot of times the keywords doesn't work. So at that point, you have to go to looking through the various classes, for, you know, beds, tools, whatever, medicine, surgery, whatever it may be. You go to the particular class that handles that sort of thing, and then break that down into the subclasses, and then look through the subclasses. And eventually, once you've found this stuff, you know, you can, depending upon how you're working with, you know, and who you're working with, you know, you get copies of the patent. I get copies of the patents, and at that point, I send the inventor's original idea, along with the copies of the patents, to a patent attorney. And that patent attorney then looks at the idea and looks at the results of the search and writes a legal opinion to the client stating that, you know, dear Mr. Jones, after a search, you know, by Patent Search International, your idea is patentable. You know, basically, it's a long thing, but basically say your idea is patentable or no, it's not. And the attorneys, if the idea is patentable, the attorneys at that point quote the client a price that law firm would charge to file the application for them. Doesn't mean they have to use that law firm, but that price quote is helpful because if they have a price quote from one attorney saying it's going to be X number of dollars, and then they start shopping around, they may find that there's somebody in their local community that's cheaper, or they might find out that there's in their local community is a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. So they have a starting price, and it's good for shopping because the patent attorneys throughout the country are ridiculously different in prices. I mean, what may cost you $3,000 in one city may cost you $20,000 in another city. Same type of work. It's just that the patent attorneys in different areas have different opinions of their value.
Do you compare that also to your patent searches as well?
Oh, yeah. The patent searches that I've seen, I mean, the highest patent search I've ever seen came out of the state of Texas. For a simple patent search, a client told me he paid $6,000.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I know. And then there was a group down south who were doing searches.
Is that with utility filed as well?
No, that was just for the search.
Okay. Wow.
And there was a group a couple of years back who were doing searches for $49. And I think you got like a three-hour turnaround time.
Wow.
With no opinion, by the way.
Well, how long do you take to do a patent search? I mean, we pay you the $250. How much time do you actually put into the search?
There is no set time. I wish there were, but I can literally spend as little as an hour on a search, or I can spend 5 days on a search. That's one of the reasons I set a standard price of $250, because there are, you know, especially law firms, if you call up, they say, well, our fee is, you know, $100 an hour, $150 an hour, whatever it may be. And at the end of that time, you know, you have no idea what you're really paying. So if I get lucky and I go in and do a keyword search and I find exactly what I'm looking for, by the time I've read everything and all that kind of jazz, I could be out of there in an hour. There are times when I don't find anything and I work all day and don't find anything. Then I stop and I got to come back the next day and I still don't find anything. You know, I may spend literally a week on and off till I finally find something. So there's no, you know, I don't set a time limit as I'm going, you know, I get $250, I'm going to spend, you know, 2 hours on this. I'm going to spend whatever amount of time it takes. And like you said yourself, you were doing a search, you spent 5 hours on a Sunday afternoon and still got it wrong.
Right.
So, you know, I've been asked that question a million times, and there is no set amount of time. And when the inventor goes in and, you know, tries to do their own search and they sit there for 5 hours and they say, well, I didn't find anything, must not be there. Well, that's not true. The worst inventions, by the way, are when the people call me up and say, I've got a really simple idea. That's when I go into heart failure, because the simple ideas are always the most difficult to do the searches on.
Wow.
It's just scary.
Well, we're coming up on a break in a moment, Ron, but we have two questions that just came in. I think we're going to save them for the next segment, though, because one of them is actually a gentleman says he has no money. He wants to see if you can help him with trying to do it by himself. That's question one, which actually is our next segment. We're going to touch on that. And then Joe from San Francisco, he wants to know how good a $250 patent search can be. So we'll touch on that in a moment as well. Thank you, Ron. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Got Invention Radio with Brian Fried on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, flies again with WS Radio. Hi, this is Jack Warren, Senior VP for the WS Radio Networks, and on September 3rd, 2009, WS Radio made history by broadcasting from the only Zeppelin in the United States, high above the Southern California skies, and we launched a local station, WSRadioDC.com, the global voice of the nation's capital. We were privileged to have Buzz Aldrin join us for this historic broadcast using new wireless technology for Internet radio. We want to thank Mr. Aldrin for his service to our country and invite you to log on to BuzzAldrin.com to purchase his New York Times best-selling book, Magnificent Desolation. His autobiography, which covers his incredible Apollo 11 journey to dealing with depression and alcoholism, and his triumph over it. So go to BuzzAldrin.com. That's BuzzAldrin.com.
If you or someone you know is unemployed, WS Radio wants to help. Hi, I'm Cece Gonzalez, host of Headhunter Radio. Our show is dedicated to all things human resources, getting a job, keeping a job, career development, and best practices. And now WS Radio is also doing their part to assist you in your job search. Log on to www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com, where they've provided some great links and free tools. That's www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com.
Social media. You have heard all the buzz and hype about social media, but with limited hours in the day, you still have not implemented your own social media marketing plan. I'm Angie Swartz, host of Twitter Talk Radio, and whether it is Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, we are here to help you with all things social media. Log on right now to freesocialmedianewsletter.com and get my first of many tips about listening tools. You should be listening to what the public is saying about you, your company, your brand on social media sites. Then, on a regular basis, we will email you short, helpful tips to bring you up to speed on how social media can add to your bottom line. After all, isn't it that the bottom line? So take a deep breath, Take a minute out of your busy day and log on to freesocialmedianewsletter.com. Yes, it's absolutely free. That is freesocialmedianewsletter.com. freesocialmedianewsletter.com.